Chapter 76, Garage Land. The phone rings. Mick Jagger is on the line. I had a teenage daydream about receiving a call like this many years ago. But no, the Stones do not need an ex-pimply-faced frontman for the next evening's show. But it's the next best thing. They're playing in Newark, New Jersey, and have decided one extra New Jersey guitar man and voice for Tumbling Dice might get some of the local fannies wagging. By the time I was 50, I'd met many of my heroes, Sinatra, Dylan, Morrison, McCartney, Orbison, and I'd enjoyed it, though I still gave them a wide berth. They still meant too much to me to surrender my starstruck feelings, and that's the way I liked it. But the following evening, I find myself walking into a brightly lit, busy reception area of a New York rehearsal studio. The girl behind the desk gives me a nod and points to a door. I open the door to a modestly sized room where there's a band and a tight-knit garage set up against one wall. There are two guitars, bass and drums, and a B3 organ in a corner. The lead singer comes up, giving me a smile that still lights up the entire room. Mick welcomes me to rehearsal. Keith, Ronnie, and Charlie from back behind his drums follow with warm greetings. They have their small Fender amps set side by side in the exact positions in which any band at the Fort Monmouth Teen Club would have set up on an empty 60s Saturday night. There are no fancy pedals, no mountain of speakers, just the bare bones equipment for making rock music pure and unchanged. There are few handlers, no entourage, and I am suddenly transported back to the little dining room I rehearsed in daily with the Castiles. Except, these are the guys who invented my job. They have been stamped on my heart since the chunking chords of Not Fade Away came ripping off the little 45 I bought at Britt's department store in the first strip mall in our area. After some pleasantries, there are two mic stands alongside one another, a few feet in front of the band. Mick, still all sharp edges and pragmatism, moves to the mic on the left. I take the right, as he counts off, and Keith, the man whose recorded playing taught me my first guitar solo, slithers into the opening riff of Tumbling Dice. I've come across many spirit-filled folk in my travels, but no one as spectrally beautiful as Keith Richards. Some years ago, Patty sang backup for the Stones, and on Keith's first solo record. One night we visited him in the studio. He took Patty's hand, looked me in the eye, and with great regard for her, said, oh, this one. From my left, in the voice that's wet millions of knickers, comes women think I'm tasty, but they're always trying to waste me. I'm pretending to be a peer, but it's not easy. Inside I'm reeling as Mick motions to me to take the second verse. It feels good. It's within the meat of my voice, and if I can't swing Tumbling Dice, I should go back to my broom handle and my mirror. A great group is always about chemistry. Up close, the chemistry among these players is unique. Keith's guitar plays off of Charlie's drums, creating a swing that puts the roll back into the rock. This is the last of the rock and roll bands. Combine that with the most underrated songbook in rock history, and the Stones have always stood heads above their competition. Still do. I'm having so much fun, and I can't let anyone know. You've got to roll me. You've got to roll me. Mick and I are trading lines in the coda back and forth like a couple of white salmon Daves. Then it's over. Mick says, that was great. We played it exactly one time. I went home. On the way home, I kept thinking, I gotta call Steve. He will completely, 100%, full tilt, rock and roll crazy understand. He did. The next night, we did it for 20,000 thunderstruck New Jerseyans in Newark. It was a thrill, but it didn't have the mystic kick of the night before when I got to sit in that little room with just those four guys, the greatest garage band in the world, in my small piece of rock and roll heaven.